The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hello, it's another episode, episode 11, season 3 of The Offside Rule, We Get It, brought to you by Continental Tires, with myself, Kate Borsay, Hayley McQueen and Lindsay Hooper. The usual trio are in the hot seats.
Yeah, you say usual trio. We've done pretty well this season at the three of us turning up in the same spot for recordings, haven't we?
That we don't have anything else going on in life other than recording podcasts.
Who do you think will be the first one to ruin the threesome?
It's going to be me, clearly, having a baby in a few weeks' time, isn't it? I'm about to kibosh through this lovely amount of consistency that we've had so far.
Or me going to the Seychelles.
Actually, yeah, true. OK, let's tell you what's coming up on today's show. Whilst we are still here and intact, ladies, parental guidance is one of the topics that we've got. Jermaine Defoe's mum, the subject of a rather bizarre article in Toronto, accusing her of all sorts. It seems the Canadians do not get on with Jermaine Defoe, especially not Jermaine Defoe's mum. We'll find other instances of when parents have interfered or perhaps for the right reasons got involved in their offspring's career. We're also going to be issuing a bit of a half-term report. Thank you, Hayley McQueen, for this topic, by the way. Many kids have returned to school this week after half-term, so I'd like your half-term reports with a fireworks theme. So, who's been setting the leagues alight unexpectedly? And who's on fire? Every single firework-related pun we can dig out, please. An outstanding player and a team each. Hayley, you're going to take the Premier League. Linz, you'll take the Championship. And I'll take either League One or League Two. We don't have Sue Smith this week because, of course, the Women's Super League season has ground to an end, a very dramatic end, but she'll be back for the new season.
By the way, I spotted, and congratulations to Sue. I see that her own players have voted her player's player at Donny Bell's. There you go.
She'd be my player's player every day. She's my podcast player. We're also going to be hearing from Sean Thorne. No Twitter topic of the week this week, ladies. So instead, we've asked Sean to do something a little bit different on the fireworks theme about his very own team currently setting their league alight. So we'll hear more from Sean, where it's basically a self-indulgence exercise for 90 seconds. That'll be coming up later on.
Speaking of fireworks, we all remember, of course, the Mario Balotelli bathroom firework thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That apparently, I read this week, cost £400,000 to fix that damage. You could buy a whole house for that.
What did he have in his bathroom? Picasso's. You can catch us on Audio Boom and on iTunes, on YouTube as well, Twitter at Offside Rule Pod. You'll always find loads going on our Twitter feed. And OffsideRulePodcast.com is our website. We've got loads of new bloggers coming through, by the way, as well. So do check out the website on a regular basis. And we've got our Euro review show coming up as well in the next few days. We obviously look at Europa League and Champions League action with HTC every European match week. And you can catch our review show in the next few days. Let's trundle on, shall we, with this one and launch into our first topic, when the Saints go marching. Now, it's been talked about a lot this season, but we haven't discussed it yet, ladies, about the secrets behind Southampton's success. They're meant to be everyone's whipping boys this season, weren't they, Southampton? There was wide-scale panic from Southampton fans after players like Adam Lallana, Ricky Lambert all left the club. And people were wondering just how Southampton were going to maintain that good form that they enjoyed last season. But they've done it. A win against Hull at the weekend. They're second in the Premier League still, against all the odds. So two firm reasons from you, ladies, as to why you think they've been so successful. Maybe it's something about the players, the setup, the manager, Ronald Koeman, or any other theory. And can you relate this to another team in the Premier League in the last 10 seasons who were expected to nosedive but excelled for the same reason? Hayley, over to you.
Koeman, one word, brilliant manager. Organisation, he said, is key to the team's success. I actually think tactics, not just tactics, but tackling, winning tackles, nearly 80% success rate of tackling. The performances of Morgan Schneiderlin and Nathaniel Clyne, absolutely brilliant. We know the players that you mentioned that they lost, but actually the fact that they lost so many players that they had no pressure on them. So pressure, another key word there. I think nobody expected them to do anything and they just quietly went about their business. Koeman's managed to assemble a team of his own. I know a lot of them were kind of last minute buys and he's kind of scrambled things together, but my goodness, it's just clicked.
Who was to know? But I would say, even though, you know, I really rate Callum Chambers, I think he'll be great in the future. I thought Adam Lallana was great for Southampton. But I think the new players are even better. Yeah. And who would have thought? No one could have predicted that these signings that came in were going to set the Premier League alight as they have.
And also, England keeper Fraser Forster has been saying as well, ever since the summer, we've had great belief and great team unity, and that has been crucial in our success, because there's been so much upheaval, so much upset, of those that were left behind, stuck together. Instead of letting things crumble, they got together. They have the team spirit. They have young players who are coming in who are excited about playing for Southampton, as opposed to the players who didn't want to play there. You've got young Bertrand, of course, coming in from Chelsea, where Southampton had nothing really to prove. They had no pressure. Well, he has everything to prove, and it's just showing Chelsea what they're missing.
Yeah, there were some doubts, actually, about signing him, that he wasn't up for the challenge, that he wasn't perhaps willing to put everything into it, but he certainly proved his doubters wrong. You mentioned tackles, and I'll just pick up on that, because Southampton at the weekend were top of the tackle charts, along with West Ham, actually. But Southampton registered 27 tackles at the weekend. And you're absolutely right, Hayley, about this defensive core and this ability to tackle and tackle well has been such a crucial part of their success. Nathaniel Clyne, he obviously didn't go through the complete youth ranks at Southampton. He came from Crystal Palace, but he's come out of nowhere. What a strong, capable central defender he is. And how good does he look for England's future as well, actually?
Yeah, I just want to finish off defence, because I think when we say about, you know, a couple of reasons why Southampton have done so well, I think we'd put defence as one of those reasons. We've just categorically said that, haven't we? The only line that I want to add to that is that the whole reason that Southampton are doing so well in the Premier League this year when it comes to defence is that they're one of the only teams that's having a solid defensive unit at the moment. Don't you think that defensive units are lacking in this Premier League calendar year? They're really, really difficult to break down. We've seen that. That's how they're holding on to points. They're maintaining some clean sheets. And for everyone who's loving watching the likes of Di Maria coming into the Premier League and Fabregas coming into Chelsea and great attacking flair and play, it goes to show, and Sam Allardyce has said this all along as well, that good defences will also get you far in the table.
You just got to look at the record. 6 clean sheets in the last 10 Premier League matches. They've only conceded 5 goals. 2 of them were at Liverpool in the first match that Koeman's side played together. So outstanding statistics as well.
I'll go for the other area, and I think this is clinical in their success, and that's signings. And Hayley obviously touched on that with the players that went out and the players that have come in. Let's not forget, because I don't think much has been said about Matic, but an absolutely brilliant player. His assist record is fantastic this season. Graziano Pella, who is just on fire. You know, you're talking about a player that wasn't really spoken about in this country much before coming here. Koeman obviously knew what he'd spotted in him.
It was a coup from Koeman, wasn't it?
It was a great coup.
I wonder if they'll be, obviously being a Dutchman, when you've had a word with Louis van Gaal about Pelle, because van Gaal brought him to Holland and created him the way he, you know, he saw something in him when he was playing in Italy. He just couldn't quite master playing football out there in the Italian leagues, but took him to Holland and he became a goal machine.
Well, yeah, but interestingly, that there was an interview with Pella that I was listening to where he's always spoken very, very highly of Van Gaal, but he actually came out and said that he now credits Koeman more. He said Koeman is the man to thank. So that was an interesting interview to listen to.
Dutch off.
Yeah, Dutch off. But the other thing that I wanted to say about that with Pella is you think about the leading goal scorers at the moment in the Premier League, and you've got Diego Costa, who we'd all heard about coming in from Atletico Madrid, who's just found his feet lovely at Chelsea. Sergio Aguero, we've been aware of him for a long time. And then Graziano Pella. I don't think many people saw that in the list of him being up there as one of the main strikers this season. So I'd say signings, along with the other names that we've mentioned, Ryan Bertrand, Nathaniel Clyne has been immense. Signings have been key.
Yeah, I'll just pick up on Victor Wanyama there. I don't know if you remember, Lindsay, years ago on this podcast, we had a topic about players who are in other leagues that we'd like to see play in the Premier League one day. And I chose Wanyama because at that time he was doing brilliant stuff at Celtic. He had a sort of a quietish arrival on these shores, but is in immense form for Southampton. His goal at the weekend was terrific, wasn't it? I mean, as much as we're praising Southampton's defensive play, there have been some brilliant goals in the Premier League this season. It'll make for a great highlights clip. That's when we have to get visual, I think, doesn't it, on this podcast. But Wanyama, yeah, look, he's learnt the art of breaking up play. His all-round game's really improved under Koeman. His passing range and his accuracy with passing also very much improved. And look, if he's playing alongside the likes of Morgan Schneiderlin, of course, he's only going to get better as well. So yeah, summing up Southampton and our reasons as to why they've been so successful.
And seeming as you did set a second part to the topic, but I think I might be one of the only people that picked up on it. Yeah, everyone's smiling at me. You said relate it to a team gone by. Yeah. I just wanted to very briefly mention Everton. Back in 1994, you know what? They were nearly relegated. They nearly went out the top flight of football. They finished third from bottom in the league, all went down to the final day. But then they came back in the next season, 95-96. They finished sixth. They won the Charity Shield that year. They had Joe Royle as their manager. And it was all down. And we mentioned signings for Southampton and how key signings can be. In particular, what one key signing can do. In the case of Everton that year, it was Andrei Kanchelskis. He was scoring for fun. Sometimes that's all you need. You just need a player to ignite something in a squad.
I was going to relate Southampton's defensive masterclass this season slightly to Crystal Palace, actually, last season. The reason why Palace did so well last season and stayed in the league, despite all the odds against them around November time when Pulis came in, was because of their solid defence. Pulis came in, organised the defence, and that was the recipe for their success. So, yeah, you've got a slight parallel there.
Check out exclusive football content daily on OffsideRulePodcast.com.
So there's no Twitter topic of the week this week. Instead, ahead of the next topic, half-term report, Sean Thorne is going to be giving us a bit of a half-term report on his childhood side, Bristol City, with over a third of the games played in League One. Sean's team, Bristol City, sit top of League One, 5 points clear and undefeated all season. They're having an amazing time. So listen, we love Sean to bits. We haven't got any Twitter topic of the week from this week. So instead, we're going to let him expand on Bristol City. So Sean, tell us more about why and how Bristol City are setting League One alight.
Talking for 90 seconds about Bristol City, and there was me thinking Christmas was a couple of months away. Although saying that, though, this season for Bristol City has been the gift that keeps on giving. Sometimes I just find myself gazing at the League One table like it's a fine Monet or a particularly thought-provoking Banksy. It's been the best start to a league campaign in City's history. But what has been behind the success? Well, a lot of the things that the girls mentioned about Southampton are quite applicable with City. Signings this season have been on point. It's hard to pick one that hasn't made a positive contribution. Agard, Wilbraham and Luke Freeman, they all attracted interest from championship clubs. All very, very impressive. Some suggest that they came down for the money. I don't think so. We've gone down the cash flashing route before. It's not really done us much good. Team spirit and belief also been key. Such a contrast to the on and off the pitch confusion and general bewilderment of the Sean O'Driscoll era. And that's got to be a tribute to the fantastic job Cottrell's done since arriving at the club. When we were just there nestling in the League One drop zone, we're playing some excellent football right now. And even on our off days, we're picking up points when seasons past we would have just completely capitulated. Agard and Wilbraham single-handedly destroying the theory that a strike force needs time to gel. 16 goals between them. The only difference, though, between the examples for Southampton and City is the difference between expectation and pressure, because there's two things that are almost unquenchable down at Ashton Gate, and that's a thirst for cider and a thirst for success. Now, expectations are always and often at times unreasonably high at City. Anything short of the playoffs this season would have been met with grim disappointment, but here we are now with more points than we had in March last season, and wondering if the names of Keown, Bergkamp, Henry, Seagon and Ali Adier will be joined by Flint, Wagstaff, Brian and Emmanuel Thomas and co in the Invincibles Hall of Fame.
Sean Thorne there gunning for president of the Bristol City fan club. Let's move on to our second topic then. On that note, half-term report. So, ladies, the kids have gone back to school after half-term. We are talking about our half-term reports a little bit late in the day, but I want to bring some firework themes into this as well. So, who's been setting the leagues alight unexpectedly? And who's on fire? Who's doing really well? An outstanding player and a team each, please. Hayley, I'm going to give you Premier League. Lindsay, I'm going to give you the Championship. And I'll take either League One or League Two. Lindsay.
Well, I will start with my star player, who we could call our Guy Fawkes, couldn't we?
Yes.
Shall we do that? Right, I'm really stuck because I'm stuck between two to choose from, but I'm going to hang on to one and mention them in my star team. We'll do that. So I'll focus on Matty Vidra. Striker at Watford, just 22 years old, back for a second loan spell from Udinese. Now, as far as Watford are concerned, managers may come and go, but he'll keep scoring. that's my verdict on him. He had a loan spell at West Brom last season, which wasn't as successful, but we'll just forget that for a moment because back in the Championship, he's on fire once more. Quick, he's a classic goal poacher. He's a bit of a crackler when it comes to the goals. Sizzler.
A crackler? A sparkler, do you mean? A sparkler?
A crackler. A crackler. A diamond. A sizzler. I'm trying to get all of the puns in.
Catherine Will.
Yeah, that's all of those. 7 goals in 13 appearances. And if you need reminding, from 2 seasons ago, 27 appearances, 20 goals. He could be well on his way to recreating that. I do think there are more to come. Hayley McQueen.
Well, I'm going to mention a player who plays for Southampton. We haven't gone into too much detail about him in our first talking point. It is Graziano Pelle. Now, I bring him up because at the start of the season, I will admit that I had him as potentially being a flop signing. That's right. The man who calls himself the Italian Stallion, who takes a lot of pride in his appearance, who, yes, played some wonderful football out in Holland and was a goal-scoring sensation. I thought, he's coming to the Premier League because he wants a little bit of glory. He's nearly 30 years old. His time is gone. He's not going to be able to keep up to the standards that we expect in the Premier League.
You're a harsh judge, Hayley McQueen, but in your face, right?
I know, in my face. How disgraceful. There have been some wonderful performances by him. 6 goals in 10 appearances in the Premier League. We all know about his goal-scoring abilities at the moment, but here are some little things that you might not know about Pelle. He actually had to decide, we just found this out recently in an interview feature with him, between becoming a professional ballroom dancer or a footballer. Absolutely true. He began dancing with his sister at the age of 10. His mum was a professional ballroom dancing trainer. He said he had to wear heels as she was taller than him.
You see, I always find the brother-sister dance combos just a little bit wrong, especially when there are heels involved.
And the singing ones. Do you remember that pair on X Factor? I was going to say about Graziano Pelle that he's very beautiful, isn't he? But if he'd have gone for the ballroom, he still wouldn't have surpassed Ali Ash for me on Strictly Come Dancing.
Well, he could actually go on Strictly now, couldn't he? He'd be okay as a contender, but he probably wouldn't be allowed to go and do that and take the time out from Southampton and injuries and what have you. He also said he might actually just be selling coffee out of a van with his dad, had he have not been a footballer or a ballroom dancer. That's right. His dad had said he wanted him to follow him in the family business. His mum, bit of pushy parenting here, was desperately wanting him to become a dancer. I was looking at him for one of the topics on pushy parents, but actually he got his own way. So I thought I'd just mention him for his goal-scoring exploits as opposed to his parents pushing him in that way. At the age of 13, he was Italy's Latin American dance champion and he partnered his older sister. Another reason I mentioned him too, because of the whole firework incident, Mario Balotelli. Look at Balotelli underperforming at Liverpool and the little known Pelle now taking his place in the national side. So it's fireworks of a different kind for Graziano.
OK, well, I'm going to look at Luton from League Two, seeing as Sean covered League One with Bristol City for us. The great thing about Luton is they're fresh back in the Football League after quite some time in the conference. They actually got promoted into League Two this season after going 19 points clear at the top and winning automatic promotion from the conference last season. They now sit second in League Two after 16 games. They're unbeaten in 10 games. This is quite something, if perhaps they're going to look at back-to-back promotions. They've conceded a few more recently, but their clean sheet record certainly keeping them in strong contention for back-to-back promotion. Look, who knows? It's very tight at the top of League Two. Luton could well get overtaken by Shrewsbury or Bury. But for now, they're looking really, really strong. In fact, so strong that last year when they were still in the conference, and I have to admire their managing director Gary Sweet's confidence, he's basically touting them for a return to the Premier League. Oh. So, you know, just think big, Luton fans, is all I'm saying. Gary Sweet's well behind you. I'll run on to my player who's been setting the leagues alight, because I did dip into Luton for this as well. Their captain, Steve McNulty. He arrived at Luton in 2013, January, in the transfer window. No one quite knew what to expect, but he became a bit of a cult hero, and he's now their captain after being vice-captain last season. He is at his very best right now. I think if you're looking for a player who's performing really, really well, last season won plaudits all over the league. In fact, he won the Player of the Year award within Luton, the Internet Player of the Year, the Goal of the Season award after a brilliant 30-yard volley against Southport. So look, he was very much last season's hero, but he's continuing that form this season as well. So he would be my player setting, and remember, it's a step up as well in terms of league, my player setting that league alight along with Luton. Lindsay.
Back to Championship then with me. And when I said I was torn between two star players, I went for Matty Vidra for my player. But this player is fundamental to the why this team are doing so well. I'll mention him too. So I'm talking Blackburn. They are the surprise outfit, I think, at the moment. They're seventh in the Championship. They moved up to seventh after the weekend. They're undefeated in their last five games. They've won three, drawn two. Great record to be in. And most of that is down to a team morale, the fact that the team have been just gelling on the pitch, but also a few star performers. One I'm going to mention is winger Ben Marshall. He's one of the best players, I think, in the Championship this season. He scored three goals in his last four games. He did actually spend time at Manchester United. Hayley, do you remember in the academies? Were you there? I've got no idea.
I can't remember.
Also at Crewe, because a lot of good players come through the youth academy at Crewe. He scored again at the weekend in the game against Reading, which they won 3-1. So Ben Marshall would be another name to look out for. But my star team to watch, who I think will perhaps get promoted through the playoffs, I am not convinced it will be automatic, but look out for Blackburn.
I've gone kind of with the obvious, but I couldn't mention another team without mentioning Chelsea. They are just setting things on fire. Maybe not quite defensively as good as they have been in the past, and it's always, always been about the defence with Chelsea when you have your Terry and your Ashley Coles and your stalwarts there who have left. So they do ship goals, but they could go on to beat Arsenal's record and be invincibles. They are still unbeaten in the league. That is right. Fabregas, my goodness, signing of the summer. Drogba, we all thought he would be potentially a bit of a risk, absolutely passed it. Definitely not. And Costa, who'd have thought it? The one thing they were lacking last season was a goal machine. Ta-da! An injection of Costa, and they are absolutely storming it. Mourinho, after last season, was determined to go on this season. I thought maybe it would be the Champions League for them, but actually I think they're going to win the Premier League. I'm going to stick my neck out already and say I can't see anybody else playing as brilliantly as them.
Check out the European football section on our website, offsiderulepodcast.com.
Okay, let's move on to topic three rather swiftly. Jermaine Defoe's mum, this is a bit of a bizarre story. She was the subject of a rather harsh article over in Canada. We know that Canada isn't getting on brilliantly with Jermaine Defoe. He's had a bit of a tough time out there, actually, particularly from the press. And this story was released by the Toronto Sun, I think, basically slating his mum. What they said is that she was trying to engineer a move for Jermaine back to the Premier League. And it was all her driving this move because she wasn't happy about her son being out in Canada. And there was an article that I read. And I tell you what, this illustrates how he's really not been given a great time by the press out there. He's not played an awful lot, and one reporter asked if he could have a word with Jermaine Defoe. He was flatly told, "Jermaine's not talking today," the official said. "Good riddance," the reporter sneered, and another grumbled about Defoe, who was of course meant to inspire Toronto to their first playoff appearance. When he didn't do that, the tables turned, and that's why the Canadians are not in love with Jermaine Defoe at all at the moment. So I want other examples of maybe overly interfering parents. I'm not saying that's what Defoe's mum Sandra's done, but let's have a little look at perhaps famous footballing parents or when parents have got in the way. Hayley.
Well, I'm going back because I'm kind of linking everything in. So I had my Chelsea link, didn't I?
Yes.
I had my Pele linking into a parental type story with his pushy parents, but he got his own way. Did Summer Terry get her own way? She absolutely loves playing football. This is John Terry's daughter, Summer. Lovely youngster who, big fan of Chelsea, of course, wants to follow in her dad's footsteps, and she has signed for Chelsea Youth, and she made a debut in the under-9 side just recently. Aww. Yeah. And John Terry posted on his Instagram account, "I am so proud of Summer for signing for Chelsea under-9s and playing her first game in a Chelsea shirt, just like Daddy. Chelsea won 12-2 and Summer scored to top off a great day." So there you go. She actually joined Stamford Bridge a little bit earlier than her dad, apparently. He was with the academy system but didn't join and sign YTS until he was 14. So she's done it under the age of 9 with her long blonde locks and her lovely little ponytail, flying the flag for women in football or young girls in football. But let's hope that she follows the footsteps of her dad, maybe not in the same position as him, and goes on. And she's one of the stars of the future in terms of maybe the WSL and the England team, perhaps. Yeah. Terry for England.
I'm going to pitch in with 3 options, okay? So 3 big name players' mums. We've got a player from Arsenal, Man United, or Real Madrid.
Mums,
choose, yeah, the mums, the mums. So choose one, Kate will say.
Well, I think I might have the Real Madrid player, so I'm going to choose Chelsea.
Chelsea wasn't an option. I said Arsenal or Man United.
Okay. Well, I think I might have the same Real Madrid mother as you, so I'm going to go Arsenal.
Arsenal. We're talking Theo Walcott's mum. In fact, this links on nicely from Hayley McQueen's. Young girl entering football, because Theo Walcott's mum, who's a midwife, by the way, won a women's...
I might be needing her soon.
Yeah, you might be. She won a women's sport award in 2009 after launching a female coaching initiative.
Oh, good on her.
So good on Mrs. Walcott.
What's her name?
I don't know what her name is, actually.
Just
Theo's mum. Hayley, who would you like, the Real Madrid or the Manchester United?
Yeah. I want the Manchester United story because I don't know who this is.
So this is Wayne Rooney's mum because she stole some headlines. She actually appeared in a few women's magazines on the front cover. You can imagine the headlines, because prior to Wayne and Colleen's big day, the big bash, she lost 7 stone.
Oh,
seven
wow.
stone.
That's some serious weight to shed.
I know. You can imagine the take a break headline now, can't you? Real Madrid, do you think we've got the same one?
Is it Dolores?
It is. Oh. It is.
Who I know. I have met and looked after and danced with.
Is she a good mover?
She likes to shuffle around the dance floor.
Well, should we let you say what you've got? And if I've got anything extra, I'll pitch in.
Well, what I've got to say about her was perhaps she interfered a little bit too much when Cristiano Ronaldo was at Manchester United, and this became a big story. And it was one of those things where I'm sure he went, "Oh, mum, when are you going to learn to keep your mouth shut?" Because she was quoted as saying, "I don't like English teams, but I know I have to like them because he, Ronaldo, is at Manchester. But for me, it's Real Madrid. Of all the foreign clubs, Real Madrid is the best. Before I die, I would like him to play for Real Madrid. I would really like that. And then I could die. It wouldn't matter." If you're Cristiano Ronaldo, you've got no choice, right? Your mum is saying she can't die happy unless you play for Real Madrid. So despite all the wanting to further his career, despite the money and everything else, I think he moved for his mum more than anything else.
When she was at Manchester United, do you remember, obviously, Cristiano brought out his clothing range? You're all slightly worried. He wasn't going to get that same number when he moved to Real Madrid. So he had the CR7. He had diamante earrings, caps, clothing. His mum would often come to the match wearing his clothes. She would wear not only a cap, which was quite often pink with the CR7 in white, she would also have the diamante earrings and a T-shirt with potentially a hoodie over the top as well. So she was, you knew she was coming when she entered the stadium. Let's just say that.
And there's more to this lady, because do you know she's a very clever woman? She handles Ronaldo's finances. She's in charge of it all, you know. And not only that, there was a brilliant story when he first joined Manchester United. This made headlines, probably the Manchester Evening News. There was a picture because she was once spotted holding his hand as he crossed the road. Oh. We're talking in his 20s. This is when he first joined Manchester United, his early days.
Gordon Bennett. All right, well, what's it like having a global footballing megastar for a father? Well, you should just ask Cruz Beckham. He's been signed by Arsenal, by the way. And recently, the retired David Beckham was seen at Norwich City's training ground where there was an under-9s game, which Cruz was featuring in. John Ruddy was there as well. I think his son also plays for the under-9 team at Norwich. And everyone was saying how lovely it was that David Beckham had just arrived and was doing the normal dad thing, not wanting to attract too much focus. I spoke to a friend of mine, Kate, because her son plays in goal for the under-9s at Norwich. And I asked her through a friend what it was like, and apparently she just said he was absolutely brilliant, played it absolutely normal. Her son, on the other hand, Finnan, who's the goalkeeper, plays his goalkeeping via his mouth more than perhaps his skill. I think Kate would say that as well. But apparently all the players at Norwich knew Cruz's name. Of course, they knew who this son of a megastar was. What did Finnan do? He kept telling all his teammates, get on Cruz, get him, get him. And this is at an under-9s game. So Kate said she just stood there thinking, what is David Beckham thinking of my son? Basically telling all his teammates to lump on Cruz.
I'm just wondering where I can borrow a 9-year-old friend of Finnan's to go and support.
That would be good, wouldn't it? She's like, oh, hi, David. Fancy a Bovril?
Yeah.
Your shout.
All right, well, if we've got nothing more to add to that, we shall finish proceedings here at the Offside Rule We Get It. Time to remind you that we've got a Euro review show out in the next couple of days. That's brought to you by HTC, the official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League. Ladies, thank you so much for participating today. You can catch all the news on the podcast via our Twitter account at Offside Rule Pod and on our website as well, offsiderulepodcast.com. You can download us via Audioboo and iTunes, and please do. We'd be completely honoured to be brought to you via the audio waves very soon. Thanks everyone, and we'll catch you soon.
Watch videos and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel, Offside Rule TV.